The predominant image of the Spirit in the First Testament, I said, it was power. Power was the predominant image of the Spirit. And thank you, priest Tim. So, and the fire, the image, and then, you know, the symbols. That song had everything, yeah. Breath, fire, stream of water, so things like that. So spirit is hard to understand, but there's a spirit working among us in your life. We human beings are created to feel the spirit. So when you feel the spirit, you know, sometimes collectively, sometimes individually, the spirit manifests herself to us and we feel it. So predominant image was the power, but there are three prophets who discovers something new about the Holy Spirit. Nobody understood that aspect of the Holy Spirit in the First Testament time. And the first prophet was Isaiah. Somehow, in that time, they only saw the Spirit as a power of God, but somehow the Isaiah connected the Spirit with the Messiah. Do you know what the Messiah is? What is the Messiah? The Messiah is a Savior the Israelites were waiting for. But somehow, the Isaiah connected the Spirit with the Messiah. And the second prophet was Ezekiel. Ezekiel saw the connection between the Spirit and resurrection. Once he had a vision, of the valley, they're full of dry bones, all dead and dry bones. And then spirit moved and breath came upon them. And all these dry bones are connected together and became alive. The image of resurrection Ezekiel saw, and the spirit, how the spirit moved among the dry bones. And third prophet, I'll tell you tomorrow. So two prophets for now, and then third prophet, I'll tell you tomorrow. You know, there was a big gap between the First Testament and the New Testament. About 400 years of gap. There was no prophecy. The Spirit was not moving. The 400 years are quite a long time. You know, several generations passed by, but no Spirit was working. No prophet had any prophecy. And all of a sudden, there was a movement. There was a bubbles of energy in that area, not only in the Jewish area, but all other parts. Somehow there was that's really hard to go up. Yeah. Somehow there was bubbles of energy. And the people were waiting. And then there was religious and spiritual activity. And people were searching for deeper meaning of life, salvation, and a new relationship with the divine. And the humanity was undergoing broader spiritual awakening. We don't know how this happened, but it happens. Like Oxford movement, the group of students Somehow they were inspired by the Spirit, and it became the whole movement. It started from the Oxford, but it swept over the England. And in Korea too, there's a revival, repentance movement. At one church it started, and then it spread the whole. And also in Germany, there was a movement of the Spirit, and then they were the seed for breaking down the Berlin Wall. It is a movement. The Spirit somehow moved. In around that time, that movement began, the spiritual movement, awakening began. And the Spirit started being active. What did the Spirit do? After 400 years of silence, what did the Spirit do? The Spirit gave birth to Jesus. So it's around Jesus' time. There was even Essen community. They moved away from the temple. They moved away from the city. They went into the caves. And they were waiting for God to come back, or to finish the end of the world. They were waiting for. And so as from the Essen community, you heard about Dead Sea Scrolls. All the scrolls they had. And the Spirit in that environment gave birth to the Messiah. The Holy Spirit had a vision for the new world and initiated a new beginning. Broke the silence and prepared for the new world. The Spirit prepared the coming of Jesus. First, the Spirit worked in Elizabeth. Who's Elizabeth? Who's Elizabeth? Do you know? Mother of John the Baptist. So first started with mother of John the Baptist. Who is John the Baptist? He was the one who prepared for the coming of Jesus. He was a forerunner. But Spirit worked in Elizabeth. We'll read some part. You will have joy and gladness. And this is a vision that angel gave to John the Baptist's father, who's Zechariah. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Spirit. We are talking about John the Baptist's birth. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. So John the Baptist was the first prophet after 400 years of silence. Here he said, before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you see? What do you see? Where's James? James. Yeah. What do you see? Yeah, not you, but James, the one who asked question yesterday. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you see? Yeah, good. I mean, even before John the Baptist had consciousness, even before he had faith or belief, he received the Holy Spirit. You see that? So belief is not necessarily prerequisite for receiving the Holy Spirit, we can see. Even before he believed, there was Holy Spirit working in John the Baptist. We often think that you receive the Spirit after you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But here the Spirit came upon John the Baptist, even before he had his consciousness. So implication is, it is important for you to pray for your children. Your children may not even be aware of the Spirit, no religious sense, no spiritual sense, but you need to pray for your children. Pray that the Spirit may fill them. Pray that Spirit may guide them, shape them, and empower them. Pray that Spirit may give them peace and confidence. Pray that Spirit may give them a righteous path for these children to take. You don't know what kind of roles are opening up for them. You never know how their life will turn out to be. But just pray that so that path may be paved and the Spirit guide them into that path. High C students, what you're experiencing is very normal. Confusion and uncertainty. But God will show you the path. So do not give up. I mean, everyone is going through in teenager years. That's why some people really took the wrong path there. But always be mindful of the Spirit. The Spirit will guide you guys. Who sent Jesus Christ to the world? For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, God sent Jesus Christ to the world, but it is the Holy Spirit who made that happen. Yes, God wanted to send Jesus Christ to the world, but it's the Holy Spirit who gave birth to Jesus. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? Since I'm a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God." Before Jesus came to the world, the Holy Spirit prepared and paved the road for the coming of Jesus. As soon as Mary heard this from the angel, she went to Elizabeth, her cousin, and this is what it said. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the child leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there will be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. When she greeted Mary, John the Baptist in her womb recognized the baby in Mary. All these things, just spiritual things are happening. The Spirit was doing. Elizabeth was not aware of it. Zechariah was not aware of it. And John the Baptist was in the womb. But somehow the Spirit is working among these people. No human will, no human decision, no human plan, but the Spirit somehow worked through all these people to bring Jesus into the world. Your existence is more than physical and emotional. It is spiritual. They didn't plan this. It was the Spirit who did all this. Life is not just about planning. A big portion of your life has nothing to do with your plan. Many times, life turns out in a very, very different way from what you plan. It is about God's grace. That's why the proverb said, the human mind plans the way, but the Lord directs the steps. That's so true. You may plan everything, but in the end, the Lord, God's Spirit, directs the steps. So it is important that you live the big portion of your life to the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to direct your steps. The Spirit also came upon Zechariah, a priest, John the Baptist's father, about his son, John the Baptist. This is how the Spirit works. The Spirit does not work only with you. The Spirit uses many people around you to do His work. Around the birth of Jesus, there were so many people involved in the birth of Jesus Christ. And the Spirit used them all. Even after Jesus was born, the Spirit, when Jesus was still a baby, God used Simeon to prophesy about Jesus. He's an old man. He was waiting for the Messiah. And then this is his witness. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms. That was a custom. So he took Jesus. He took the baby in his arm and said this. He felt it. When he embraced this baby, he felt it. He said, Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. We are born to feel the Spirit. And this Simeon felt the Spirit when he embraced the baby and he had this vision by the Spirit. God used Zechariah, Elizabeth, John the Baptist, Mary, and Simeon all worked together to make this happen. You are not alone. The Spirit uses events, people, and your circumstances to make things happen for you. Not just on you, but all these people work together to make things happen for you. It is purely by God's grace that the Spirit empowers you. After preparing all these things and the people, the Spirit finally came upon Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And the voice came from the heavens, "You are my son, the beloved. With you, I am well pleased." The Spirit came upon Jesus. This event declared publicly that Jesus was the Son of God. God opened the new beginning with Jesus. He said, the heavens torn apart. The torn apart, the same word was used when Jesus was on the cross. When Jesus was on the cross, something was torn apart. What was torn apart? Curtain was torn apart. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain was torn apart. What was that curtain? Curtain was in the Jewish temple, there was holy and the holy of holies. So that holy of holies, that area, only the priests can go in. And once a year they go in. So there was a curtain that divided. And then they believed that God was present in Holy of Holies. And that curtain was torn apart. In other words, God, who was hidden behind the curtain, now revealed fully to us. That revelation, God came out from that. The curtain was torn apart when Jesus was, and the heaven was torn apart when Jesus was baptized, and God was revealed fully through Jesus Christ. Then the Spirit laid down the ministry of Jesus. It's not Jesus came up with his own purpose and vision and meaning. Oh, I'd like to have a meaning. No, Spirit gave him the meaning to Jesus. And then what I'm going to read is the vision of Isaiah. As I mentioned, Isaiah saw the connection between Spirit and the Messiah. And this is a word from Isaiah. And then Spirit used that word to Jesus to give him commission, to commission him. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Isaiah's word, but Jesus, it was given to Jesus. So life purpose, or meaning of life, or purpose of life, is not something that you decide on your own. When you wait for the Spirit will fill you with what you are to do, what you are born to do, what you should live for. The Spirit gives you this purpose. I hope that you wait for the Spirit to give you the purpose of life. When you are waiting for the Spirit, then Spirit will inspire you. Certain events will open up your eyes. Or certain things you have passion for. This is all God's purpose for you. You praised him. You're leading the praise. But it's not just by your will. But the Spirit asks you, commissions you to do this. I mean, work is work. Okay? To make money, you have to work. To make a living, you have to work. But that's not really the purpose of life. But the Spirit gives you what you are born to do. That's how we should live. When you try to do everything with your own power and wisdom, you'll be tired and you'll get burnt out, as Jonathan mentioned. I mean, Jonathan, how long have you been the praise leader of this church? I remember probably from even high school, And he was a praise team leader, Jonathan and Joshua. And then, how long? And yesterday, when you shared before the praise, I realized you have become so spiritual. Come on in.
Sorry.
That's okay. I mean, how long, when your children, I mean, you're young, but you did passionately, but over the years, you have become so spiritual. I'm so proud and happy to have praised him like that. By yourself, you don't have strength and wisdom to take care of everything that is happening in your life. Even when you don't know what to do, the Spirit guides you. That gentle Spirit who came down on Jesus like a dove, this time changed. As I said, the Spirit is like wind. Sometimes it's a gentle breeze, but another time it's like hurricane. And this time, like hurricane, this Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Strong, violent wind. The word used, drove, is ekbalo. Ekbalo is the word that Jesus used to cast out demons. When you ekbalo demons, that kind of very strong force, and the Spirit drove Jesus into wilderness. We don't choose the wilderness. Jesus did not choose the wilderness. Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness. Wilderness is where you feel most vulnerable, tested and tempted. You do your best to escape, run away, or avoid wilderness. But my friends, we cannot. Without the wilderness, there is no promised land. Only through the wilderness you go to the promised land. So when you go through the wilderness, don't worry. Or don't think that bad things happen to you. Or don't think that this should not have happened. Don't think like that. When wilderness comes to you, believe that wilderness is a necessary step you need to take to go where you want to go and to be who you're meant to be. You'll not be destroyed. You'll become stronger. Your identity will be clearly affirmed. Matthew and Luke elaborated the temptation. And the key temptation, I mean, there's turning bread, the stone into bread, and falling off from the pinnacle and all that. What is that temptation? But the ultimate temptation was this. If you are the Son of God. I mean, on the baptism when the Spirit came down, you are the Son of God. But all of a sudden, Satan in the wilderness asked, if you are the Son of God. So, identity question. So Satan continuously attacked Jesus with identity question. When you go through wilderness, this identity question comes up. Why these things happen to me if God really loves me? If I'm really the precious child of God, why these things happen to me? You experience that in the wilderness. That identity question, more than anything else. You need to overcome that temptation. The Spirit will help you. And the Spirit will tell you, you are a precious child of God. Even when you go through suffering, don't ever forget that you are the most precious child of God. Well, when you look at Lord's Prayer, this is how Jesus prayed. Do not lead me into temptation. But why did the Spirit lead Jesus into temptation? The Spirit did not lead Jesus into temptation. The Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness. The wilderness, through wilderness, Jesus overcame the temptation. So the Spirit did not lead Jesus to be tempted, but Spirit led Jesus to overcome the temptation. So in your wilderness, ask Spirit to lead, to overcome temptation. Running away from the wilderness will not help you. You will become powerless and useless. If you're constantly run away from the wilderness, your life will be meaningless. You'll become filled with fear. Oh, what if this suffering comes? What if this hardship comes? You will always be scared of facing the temptation. But the Spirit helps you to confront and face your temptation, your wilderness. And there you will overcome your temptation. This was what St. Paul taught about temptation. No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful, and He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. But with the testing, He will also provide a way so that you may be able to endure it. There will be no temptation that will destroy you. The God will lead the way out. Jesus experienced both highs and lows of His life. There was a time when Jesus was really popular. People wanted to make Jesus a king. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take Him by force to make Him king, He withdrew again to the mountain by Himself. They tried to make Jesus king. But Jesus was not born. Jesus did not come to the world to be the king as people wanted. There was temptation. And then Jesus experienced the lows. I mean highs, but lows. Lows is in Gethsemane. He came out and went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed Him. When He reached the place, He said to them, "Pray that you may not come into the time of trial." Then He withdrew from them about a stone's throw, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel from heaven appeared to Him and gave Him strength. In His anguish, He prayed more earnestly, and His sweat became like great drops of blood falling down on the ground. That was temptation too. Jesus did not run away from the temptation. He confronted His own death and He embraced it. You'll have highs and lows of your life. Both can be a time for temptation for you. Ask the Spirit to give you strength to overcome your temptations. Temptation is not about your mistakes. temptation is about who you are. The same Spirit who strengthened you in the wilderness is with you today. So when you look at the whole thing of Jesus' life, it's all Spirit. It started with the Spirit. Even birth was about Spirit. And his commissioning was about Spirit. His temptation was about Spirit. Behind Jesus' life, there was Spirit. Everything was about Spirit. Jesus did all the miracles, and everything is through the Spirit. So Jesus lived all his life with the Spirit continuously. That's how our life should be like. Always with the Spirit, rather than living by your own strength. Ask the Spirit guide you. Every little thing, smallest thing, that ask the Spirit to guide you, lead you, and then you will see the amazing result when you start doing that. So Jesus showed us the example how we should live. Jesus depended on the Spirit. And I hope that you also depend on the Spirit living your life. Your life will change tremendously when you do that. Thank you.